then I received a very strange phone call from Donna. Well, a text message, call first, and then a message, saying that she just found out that I was preaching this Sunday. I said, how can they be? So I guess Pastor got, I don't know, I'm not going to blame it on Pastor Hip. It might have been me confusing the days. So, because I told my wife, oh, I have a really rough week because I said I'm going to be preaching last week 4 days in a row. We were here Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 4 days last week. And I said 3 days plus Sunday. I said, and I cannot even take a day off to do all this work. So it was a little stressful, but I'm here today. I didn't change the message, so don't. And I just want to challenge you with one question. Do you guys remember what Dick Wilson preached last week? That's what I thought. Don't worry about it. Hey, don't pull your notes. I just want to test your brain. See how. Because I've been preaching something about that today, this morning. I want to start by asking you, refresh your memory about the things. You probably have a list of things that you enjoy doing. I know one of them, it's potluck. How many of you enjoy potluck? We all enjoy potluck, right? How many of you enjoy church? We all enjoy church. I mean, that's a list of things that you like to do here at church. It's also a lot of things you like to do outside of church. Like, I don't know, women, you like go shopping, perhaps? Oh, gardening, okay. When my wife was shopping, I tell her, go window shopping, please. Don't take your credit card. So we all have a lot of things that we enjoy doing. I mean, we even repeat things through the week. And that's how much we enjoy doing some things that we repeat them, you know, pretty often. And but what about the list of things that we usually put off? The things that we don't like to do. What about those things that you just say, well, I might do them. And I was just reminded yesterday about a little project that I have in my home that I told my wife last year. I told her, honey, next year I'm going to build a little deck here so I can put the grill here so I don't mess up the other deck. And I was reminded. I told her, she say, next year? Like, you going to wait a year for this project? A year? And they say, well, I cannot do it on the winter. It's too cold for me to be outside. Well, you work every day on the cold. What's the matter with going out? But anyways, we all have a list of things that we don't like to do, especially things that require going out of our comfort zone, especially things that are going to make us uncomfortable, things that that you might even hate to do. I mean, I'm not going to say hate. You just don't like to do them. Well, some people say, I hate, but they don't really mean that. They mean, I don't like to do them with the passion. That's what some people say. And the text this morning, what I want to be preaching about, it's in James chapter 2. And I mean, actually, it's James chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 19. Starting verse 19. I'm just going to read from 19 on. And he started by saying, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. So if anyone taking notes, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filthy and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted into you, which can save you. Verse 22 says, do not merely listen to the world and so deceive yourselves. Do not do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever intently into the perfect law and gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, by doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Dear God, this morning I have the privilege and the blessing to be here speaking to my brothers and sisters. I ask for your guidance. I ask you to take control of my tongue, take control of my emotions, and let me be a channel of blessing for my brothers and sisters this morning. Lord, take control of every mind and every heart, and let everybody get rid of things that it might be in the way of the word that's going to be preached this morning. In the name of Jesus, I ask you. Amen. So, James has got a list of things here that, me personally, make me uncomfortable. Because he's asking things that we normally don't like to do. And he started by saying that, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen. That's the first thing he says, quick to listen. And that's where we mostly fail sometimes. We're not quick to listen. I mean, we get into a conversation with anybody and we don't even let the other person finish the sentence before we start answering. Oh, I think. And we always want to tell the other person what I think, not what he thinks. And that's what he's telling us here. Everybody, we should be quick to listen. Because what he's trying to do is to gear his listeners to listen what he has to say. Be quick to listen. And sometimes we don't let words come out of our mouth, but we have these conversations in our minds. I mean, if you're not like me, you don't know what I'm talking about. But we had this conversation with ourselves in our mind. Well, I have long conversations with myself sometimes when I'm driving by myself. So I don't know if you, same way as me, but I'm trying to convince myself of things. You know, this is another inner being. It's like someone is inside me trying to tell me things that sometimes contrary to what I'm going to work. Sometimes I open my eyes in the morning, and the first thing I hear a voice inside me, you just stay here, stay on bed for a little longer. A little voice that, you know, is telling me, why you have to get up? Look outside, it's still dark. Now that, I don't know what happened. Some smart person decided to change the clock, and you have an extra hour. And I have to tell the other guy, no, I have to get up. I have to get ready, and I have to go to work because I might get fired. Why don't you just find another job? It's like immediately somebody answering your thoughts. You know, and everyone should be quick to listen. And listening is one of the very unique qualities that any person ought to have. And if you don't have it, oh, like me, we have to practice it. Sometimes I get ahead of myself. And the next thing he says, slow to speak. That's a good one right there. Slow to speak. When they give us the opportunity to speak, we go on and on and on. Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because, you know, it's conversations that can automatically take you to be angry. Especially when somebody's telling you something that you don't want to hear. And it leads you to fight out of a simple conversation. You'll be arguing. Before you know, you'll be arguing about something that, I mean, you don't even know why they started it. Because, verse 20 says, because human anger does not produce the righteousness of God. How many of us have made very important decisions based on anger? How many guys or women out of a conversation, angry conversation, I say, well, I'm done with you. I'm leaving my house, and I don't want to see you again ever. But they didn't do it on a good days. The guy didn't decide to leave just his wife on a very good day when they were on vacation or they were having a good time. No, it was the day he got angry. And that anger doesn't produce the righteousness of God. It doesn't produce. It's not even near. Nothing to do with God's will. Our anger, it puts us in a lot of trouble. Put me in a lot of trouble. How many of you got pulled over by police like me? Oh, that's not just me. But I don't know if you handle it the same way I did. The last time I made this mistake, I was late for work, so I was speeding up right on 108 before they signed and put cameras on right on the street. But it used to be a police every morning right by the intersection of 108 in Georgia. So I was driving, and before I know, I see this guy with this little thing. Like, I said, what is that? Looks like somebody's going to shoot me. It was a police checking my speed. So he got almost in front of me. He said, you know how they do it. So the guy was, I don't know. I think he was mad or angry. Or he probably was right, because I was doing something I was not supposed to do. Not obeying the law. He said, well, and I say, I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. I'm not going to say anything. Just let him write me a ticket, and I'll go on my way. So he write me a ticket, and he was standing right there. And he come up with, do you speak English? And, I mean, this is one of those questions that sometimes it's all it takes for you to just to let it out. I say, of course. And I say, and as they're having a conversation that was very unpleasant with the police, he said, you know, I was going to give you the discount ticket. But I was, you know, just because you said to me, I'm going to let the whole, well, I want to write you a different amount. He tore up the ticket and he doubled it up. It's no good. So I got angry, and I went back home and write a letter with the ticket to the judge. That I was treated unfairly. So I show up at court, and I was hoping, you know, the police don't show up, because police don't show up, you're off. And it was like 5 minutes. I keep looking at it. I said, good, it's not here. Like 3 minutes before my time, I see him sitting down in the back. I say, oh, God. So the judge didn't give me no break. So, but it was out of anger, because I said something to the police officer that I shouldn't have done it. And how many times we get in trouble because anger? I mean, some things ain't no punishment, or you don't pay a price for it, but it's a lot of things that you pay a price for, you know, just let your anger out. And James telling us here that this anger is going to just put us in trouble. We're going to ruin our lives. I mean, out of anger, I remember years back, I ruined a couple of jobs because of anger. Matter of fact, I got sent out to anger management once. You see me here, and you probably see me, old calm guy and everything. But I had my issues in the past. I might be a different person now, but I had my issues. I got sent out to anger management, sit down with a bunch of anger people and say, I'm one of them. I had to convince myself that I was one of them. And I had to complete 40 hours. 40 hours. That's another price you pay. Just for you let your anger. And some people get in so much trouble. Relationships broken. Marriages destroyed. Because you don't want to manage your anger. You're just waiting for somebody to tell you something. So you not slow to speak. We put the things that, you know, we change them. We slow to listen, quick to speak, and quick to get angry. And verse 21 says, therefore, that's the next thing he's telling us. Get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalently. And humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. So if even coming to church, even you here this morning, there's some things that we had to get rid of. I don't know if you were here, how was your trip to church, or how was your day yesterday, or your week last week. I don't know how your emotions coming to church this morning. And it's one thing. I want you to remember next time you come to church. What is the condition of my heart? Am I ready to receive? I'm ready to worship and receive the word of God this morning. There is some things I had to get rid of. There is some things that I have to hang or just put them in the trash. Put them in the trash because sometimes we just put them aside for a little bit and then we go back out and just put him right back, like a hat or suit or something. Get rid of things. Let's get rid of things. That's the condition to receive the word. Because sometimes, I can tell you from a personal experience, years ago, I used to, you know, when I had a problem, sometimes I came to church and said, just like you, listen messages that I didn't even remember. I went out just the same way that I came in. Because I didn't get rid of the things that was in my heart. And it's a waste of time. And it's a waste of message. And it's I show up for nothing. Because sometimes I was even out even worse. Because that was me. I'm talking from a personal experience. And it don't happen here either. It happened on a Latino Spanish congregation. But there's things that we had to get rid of to and humbly accept the word planted in our hearts. The word of God is something that is planted. If you pay attention to the messages, the message adds a seed that's planted in your heart. Word don't just automatically just is poured into your heart. It's something that you have to receive. And let the seed be planted. Otherwise, it's never going to produce anything. It's just like, I don't know, you gardener. So you plant things. And you probably buy seeds. And it's amazing. It's incredible that this little bag of seeds, you know, they have life in it. They have life. You see they're like a dead, like you see a corn grain, and you don't see any life in it, but actually it's life in it, because once you plant that on the soil, it actually produce. The word of God is just like a seed. It's got to be planted in your heart. It had to be received and planted. And let it grow. Let it grow. Otherwise, the growth in a Christian, it's about the word doing something in your life. But if we just reject it, and we think something, because sometimes we think that the word is that's preached is from someone else. It's not for me. Sometimes we hear messages that we say, oh, this word be just nice for like my grandmother, or for my mother-in-law, or oh, even my wife. Oh, this is a good one for my wife. And we think that all messages, they're never for us. And if it's the condition, nothing's get planted in your heart. Nothing. It's not that we're selective. It's just certain messages or certain word that we like. Some people like messages about prosperity, about, I don't know. Maybe you would think that I was going to preach about, you know, this Lent season, and it's something about Jesus, something about death and resurrection. But for some reason, God led me to bring you this message this morning. But listen what the verse 22nd says. This: do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive it and deceive yourself. This is one of the worst things we can do, is just deceive ourselves. Listening to the word and saying, no, this is not for me. It has no relevance in my life. This is not really for me. And we fool ourselves. Do what it says. That's what I was saying earlier. There is things that we don't like to do. There's a list of things that we don't like to do. But this is what James said, do what it says. Because and he goes on to say in verse 23, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks into his face in the mirror. You know, the word has the power and the ability that make us look ourselves, where we are, what is the condition of our heart, where we are as a Christians, where we are as a follower of Christ. When you listen to a powerful word, you know, that has the ability. I don't know how many of you look in the mirror this morning, or how many times you look in the mirror this morning before you came here. He's using that analogy, looking in the mirror. The word is like a mirror. He's saying, it's, you sit in front of the mirror, and you say, well, okay, this is the way I look. Oh, it looks like I gained a few pounds. Because in your mind, you think you're someone else. But when you go look in the mirror, he reveals right back to you what you look like. I mean, he gives you an evidence. Unless there's something wrong with the mirror. How many times you blame the mirror? How many times you don't want to look in the mirror because you don't like what you see, what the mirror reflects back? It's what is James using. He said the word is like a mirror. They put you right in front of the mirror and it make you look where you are. I remember, but I mean, talking about things that you forget quick, to look in the mirror and forget who we are or how do we look like. I remember one couple years back, we had new neighbors. They moved in right across the street from our house. And I think they had a project. They want to turn the put a room on top of the garage. And he found out I was a carpenter. And he came and locked on the door. And I was getting ready to do something, to go somewhere. I was shaving. I was getting ready to shave. And I used to use the foam you put on your face, you know, to shave and stuff. And I heard the bell ring, and I said, "Who could be?" So I looked at a window. I didn't see anybody because we have a porch. And I just went right down to see who it was. And I saw it was my neighbor. So I came in, "Hey, how you doing?" And we started talking. And he said, "Well, I had this project. I heard you're a carpenter. Are you available? Are you?" I said, "Yeah, I mean, just give me your number." And he started looking at me funny, you know. I said, "Is something wrong with me?" You know, I forgot to wash the cream off of it. And I was right outside the door with my neighbor with all this cream in my face. After a while, he said, I think he can't just hold it anymore. He said, "Okay, just go back and finish shaving." That's how sometimes we are. We look in the mirror and we forget who we are. I remember one time we were getting ready to have a service from another church. And we saw this lady come in with those, ¿cómo le llaman los tubos, Rosy? Rolls in the head. And somebody look at her and say, are we having a contest here today? And she touched her hair. I mean, she went right. I don't even remember. She came back to the service. She forgot to take the rolls off. She forgot to look in the mirror before she went out the door. And it's James is saying the same thing. Don't just look in the mirror. The mirror is revealing where you are right now. And just don't forget. Don't go out. Don't just leave this place. And go back to your own business and forget. Be a doer of the word, not just listener. Because a lot of us are good listeners, but we fail on doing things. Sometimes we fail on doing them. And James' advice is, don't you just be listeners and not doers of the word. How many things that we just keep putting off? Next week I might do this. I might do that. And you already know. It's been a Christian for all these years. You pretty much know your duties as a Christian. And there's a lot of things that we just, for some reason, don't do them. We're not interested. We don't take interest. So after he says that, it's like a person looks their face in the mirror, and after looking himself, goes away and immediately forget what he looked like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, there will be a blessing. Blessed in what they do. So sometimes we think that James would just want to beat us up with this word. But it's actually, he's saying here that's a blessing. And we forget that in order to be blessed, we have to do something. You know, there's some promises they have. They're conditional promises. A lot of promises in the Bible is that has two parts. God asking you to do something, and he's going to do the other part. There is a lot of promises. They're general. The guy is just going to fulfill them regardless, no matter what. Perhaps God told Noah to build an ark, and because it's going to be a flooding. After the flood was over, he told Noah, I will never destroy the earth again with the flood. And we haven't seen the earth being flooded again. That's God fulfill some of those promises regardless, no matter what happens. But some other promises, they're conditional. And here is James is telling us that whoever doesn't forget, you, if you listen and you do what you hear, there is a blessing into doing them. The real blessing comes in doing them things. Not just listening, not just, it's in doing them. In verse 26, it gives us, 26 says, those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight ring on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religious is worthless. He says that if we consider ourselves religious, he doesn't say if we consider ourselves Christians. He's just using the word religious, this NIV version. Those who consider themselves religious yet do not keep a ring tight in our tongues, deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Verse 27 says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. But he's telling us two things here. That if we think we're religious, if we think that we are faithful Christians, this is giving us a couple of things here. Look after the widows. I can give you a long list of things to do. But he's telling us two things here. Look after the widows. I don't know if you know someone's a widow. If you, and not only you know somebody, if you've done something for the person. Look after the widows and the orphans. And I'll say, do something for the people that are in jail. Do something for the people that are, for the homeless. There's a lot of work, a lot of things that we can do if we really want to get the word in action. Not just be listeners. Be a doers of the word. According to Matthew, I just keep it. Matthew 25, Jesus has give us a list of things that we can, well, not really a list. Let me find it. Matthew. It says in verse 31st, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and the angels with him, he will sit on the glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from goats. He will put those sheep on the right and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on the right, come you who blessed by my father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the earth. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat, and I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirst and we gave you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needy, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick and or in prison and got to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of me, you did it for me. And then the list goes and saying on the verse 31st, but whoever doesn't do these things, and that's a list that you want to read it yourself. But that's a list of things that he says, that whatever we do here in earth for the needy, for somebody in prison, we're doing it for the person, but we actually doing it for the Lord. You want to store treasures in heaven? You want to have something on your eternal bank? That's how you can make it a large deposit. So when the day comes, how do we want to be treated by the Lord? Are we going to be on the right or are we going to be on the left? Yeah. I mean, this is Jesus' words. This is not Jose's words. This is Jesus talking, challenging us. And you know, the word of God always challenging us to do out of our comfort zone. Constantly. The word makes us uncomfortable. And I really like for the word to make me uncomfortable myself. Because sometimes I tend to be comfortable. You probably remember the story of Elijah, the prophet Elijah, after he prayed for the rain to stop coming to the land of Israel. The Lord told him, hey, just go to a brook and I will have the ravens to bring you bread and meat every day. This is a life that I probably want. And the Lord just said, hey, just go by the Potomac River. I'll I'll have whatever fast food you like. I mean, just give me a list of the things you want me to have it delivered to you. I say, okay, Lord, here's my list. But after a while, the word says that the brook dried up. Probably the Lord saw Elijah getting too comfortable. You know, I don't know about Elijah, but if it was me, I probably didn't want those ravens to come late in the morning because I was getting hungry. And, you know, every time I think about those that event, you know, why God chose ravens that like meat to take the meat to Elijah? That's like having a drunk person telling him, hey, go deliver this amount of wine to certain such as, but don't drink it. That's like, you know, but the ravens came and delivered. But after a while, that brook got dry because probably Elijah was getting too comfortable. And God had to make him comfortable. He said, no, you have to go out. There's work to do. There is this widow that I need you to go and provide for her. In the word of God, God is constantly pushing us out to do something. Something. If I was Elijah, I would have said, Lord, I mean, just give me another year. Just keep me here another year. I mean, you're the provider of all things. This is nothing for you. So just let me have another year. No, it's time for you to go out and keep doing my work. So I don't know if this word this morning is challenging you to go out of your way, to go out of your, I mean, get you resources. And sometimes God wants us to pull our wallets. God wants us to use our resources. He blessed us for that one reason. But that's one thing that we just don't want to use our resources, especially when it comes to money. I know money is a very sensitive issue. I know a lot of us don't want to be, nobody tell us nothing about money. I had to go out 40 hours a week and kill myself. Why are you talking to me about my money? Well, sometimes it requires you funds to do something. So I hope these next couple of days, you're willing to go out of your way, out of your normal routine, out of your normal life, and do something, a small thing. Start with a small thing. Don't think about a big thing. Start with the smaller things. You know, I've been teaching about the book of James on Thursdays in our group. And last week I preached about, you know, faith without works is dead. And I just told the guys, oh, by the way, there is a need. Somebody needs a car. Someone needs a car. Who are willing to give you a car for a needy person and for free? Don't expect the payment. And after we finished, somebody approached me and said, I'm willing to give my car up. It's not a new car. It's a used car, but it's still working. And I think it's gonna be put to good use. And then another person came to me yesterday. I mean, is the person still need my car? I also want to give, two people actually came up, say that he wanted to donate his car. And the guy that asked me yesterday is the only car he has. The other one has three cars. The other one has three. He's willing to give one up. This other one want to give up his only car. And I told him, why you want to give up your car? Because I believe that God will bless me. And out of a teaching that I taught him, you know, faith without works, James says that's dead. You got to show your faith by your works. You got to see, let your faith seen by your works. And I say, well, here you go. You willing to give up your car? it's great. And I didn't say that, but I was willing. I was almost to say, well, if you're going to give it, why don't you give it with 1 year insurance pay? I said, well, it'd probably be too much. A two-year tag and a year insurance, that'd be a great gift. Well, go beyond, right? Go the extra mile. How many of you are willing to go the extra mile? You look at how Jesus put these soldiers uncomfortable. I mean, the people of Israel uncomfortable. If somebody asks you to take, to do 1 mile, they don't just do 1 mile. Why don't you just do 2 miles? And shame the other person. Because if we only do what we ask to do, say that we always be short. Go beyond. Go the extra mile. If God is challenging you to do something this morning, go the extra mile. Yeah. I mean, the world always challenging us. God is challenging us always to do something. And most of these things that I talked about this morning here, there is something that are not in our list probably. They were not in mine. I can tell you that. But they are. And I'm trying my best to do. They put this word in action. Because, I mean, well, look, I mean, one day we worry so much about the things that we have here. We worry so much. And I just experienced my brother-in-law's dad last year. And all the things that he worked dearly for, that he had, that were precious to him. They're all behind. One day we're gonna left this earth. And what about all these things that we grab them, that we hold, and they think they were so much value for us? Which gonna go? And who's gonna enjoy it? Who do you work for? I hope your children. I hope somebody that values it. I hope somebody that really appreciates it. I hope somebody is going to sit in your car and say, oh, I'm going to take care of this car because they belong to this person that I really loved. I can tell you that somebody that didn't work for is not going to appreciate it. So let's, before God calls us home, let's do something that costs us something. No pain, no gain. Remember that? No pain, no gain. If it doesn't hurt, you didn't do much. Something that hurts. So, this is what I have for you this morning. So, I'm going to ask our brother Funa to finish by praying for you this. And I really hope and pray that this message find you, that you take it with you and do something with it. God bless you.
I'm going to make a declaration. This whole room is an altar. So take this time to bow down and give him your all, as our brother said. So if you join me in prayer, let's do it. Oh, Father God, thank you for this message this morning. Thank you for the teaching from Brother Jose. And Lord, we ask you to continue to be in his life, in the life of his wife, Rocio, and his family. We thank you for his willingness to share your word. And Father God, I know we pray for needs and we pray for changes in our lives. Lord, this morning we pray that you make us uncomfortable. Make us go beyond ourselves and extend ourselves to meet another person's need in the way that you say in your word. Lord, stretch us. Make us go a step further. Not even a second mile, make it 5 or 10, Lord. And as our brother said, no pain, no gain. Again, we thank you for this message. Lord, I did say there are needs. And in this time, and as you are, whatever is on your heart, say it by name in your mind. Pray for it. Do that right now. Ask ask God also to help you to listen. I struggle with that myself. That is my confession. Lord, turn down the volume in our heads. And let's listen to each other. And in listening, we might learn about one another in a meaningful way. Lord, we lift up the tithes and offerings, and you know how you can expand that, Lord. And I just thank you for the hearts that are willing to give, are willing to go beyond themselves, are willing to serve you. Lord, anoint these gifts so that they can serve your purpose. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As we prepare to give this morning, I'm going to call those ushers forward. Come on, guys. Thank you.
You're my all, you're the best. You're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. Oh, to know the power of your risen life, and to know you in your suffering, to become like you in your death, my Lord. So with you to live and never die, knowing you.
Lord, watch between me and thee while we're absent one from another. May you take his word buried deep in your heart and live it out in the world this week. In Jesus' name, amen. And you're dispersed to be the church.